ask the Lord to be pleased to help me. I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 4, and the second half of the 9th verse. Cast down, but not destroyed. Second epistle to the Corinthians, and the second half of the 9th verse. I would like to feel that this subject might be, as a word of in season, a word of help to some of you desiring to get good for your souls. It may be some of you are here and saying, as David did, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me." But this word before us should be a word to encourage you to hope in God. Cast down, but not destroyed. Although you may feel to be at a very low ebb in your soul's experience, and maybe you can hardly tell what you are or where you are in things divine, you cannot feel at the present time as you would like to feel that matters are right between your soul and God. But here is this word, "but not destroyed." And that is that you are here before God in the attitude of worship, and let your consciences tell you if this is the truth of the matter. Your eyes have been up unto the majesty of heaven, that there might be some token for good, some help by the way, some intimation of the love of God made known toward you, and that in the worship of God you might be indeed helped with a little help. And now, if that concern is wrought within you, then you are not destroyed. As I said at the outset, you may feel to be at a very low ebb in your soul's experience, but you can still say, as Job did, "The root of the matter is found in me." And that root of the matter is functioning, inasmuch as you are here before God, after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And now I want, as the Lord to help me, to look at this subject from just one or two viewpoints. And in viewing the setting of it, I must make it plain that the Apostle Paul is writing to these godly Corinthians and setting before them what the work of the ministry really is. And that is a subject nowadays that is not as well understood as it ought to be. And the Apostle Paul is making it plain that in his own labors in word and doctrine, he entered into this experience. In the context it says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." The treasure is the gospel, the proclamation of it, by men ordained of God to preach. But men ordained of God to preach are earthen vessels. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. And then comes the consummation in our text. Cast down, but not destroyed. The Apostle Paul declared, wherever I go, bonds and afflictions await me. He was a much tried man of God, and he was indeed cast down by the treatment he received in many places where God ordained that he should preach. But underneath it all, he had got this sweet, blessed persuasion: cast down, but not destroyed. He had a solemn awareness of what God had ordained him to be. The man of God that he was, the great apostle, and he had this view of it, and it means that you and I, although while this primarily applies to the ministry, it is equally true about all people taught of God, whoever they are, wherever they are. Cast down but not destroyed. And now, says the Apostle Paul, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. In other words, he puts it in another epistle, as dying, and behold we live. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. And so the Apostle Paul held fast by that great truth, and because I live, ye shall live also. And so, although he was in many deaths oft, as he tells us in this same epistle to the Corinthians, and thereby he was cast down, blessed be God, he could go on and declare, but not destroyed. And now, the word of God tells us, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort in the scriptures might have hope. And so I would just look a little at some things whereby sinners born again, mark the word in, sinners born again are cast down. And yet while they are indeed cast down, deep down in their hearts, there is the reality of that religion still abiding, that God has wrought in their hearts. Cast down, but not destroyed. And now, it may be you are here in a cast down state. There are two viewpoints of being cast down. As soon as a sinner is born again, and he begins, as he will do, to follow on to know the Lord, he will get some help. He will be granted encouragement. And ere long, he will find he has got something wrought in his soul's experience that will give him confidence in God. And as soon as he gets that confidence in God, Satan will be on the stretch If so be he can gain some advantage over that sinner born again to undermine his confidence or to weaken it. And that means that you and I, if God has granted us such a confidence, oh, do prize it and do watch and pray lest ye enter into temptation. For if you should do and fall, then Satan, having gained that advantage over you, will turn round to try and rend you regarding your confidence as to whether it can be that which God has wrought, seeing you have fallen a prey to some temptation within or without. And now, that is what Satan is ever working to bring about with you and I, if we are indeed sinners born again, that what we hope God has done for us, Satan will seek to undermine it and to rob us of the hope in God that we possess as we look back to see what we humbly hope God has indeed done for us, and whereof many a time we have been made glad. But more often, sinners born again are cast down, not only as regards their standing in the things of God, but they are cast down by things within. And that is to do with our frames and feelings. And now, there is that about us, we are very apt to judge how we are before God by what our frames and feelings may be. I am going to tell you that our frames and feelings are not the criterion, not the standard, whereby we are to judge how matters are between our souls and God. What do we read in Malachi? I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And if the good work is indeed begun in us, God has guaranteed to carry it on. And that, do listen, irrespective of what our frames and feelings may be. You see, a sinner born again is said in the Word of God to be a tree of righteousness. And now that is a very simple yet a very apt illustration. The Holy Spirit uses that illustration. And there is a word in Isaiah I have been very glad of sometimes. As the days of a tree, so are the days of my people. And now you see a tree, I mean a fruit-bearing tree, in winter time. And there is no fruit to be seen. There are no leaves either, or buds of promise of fruit. But it stands stark and stiff on the landscape, and the passerby, not knowing what it really is, could conclude it was dead. No, no. It is a fruit-bearing tree with a season wherein to bear fruit. Though bleak winds the boughs deface, the rooted stock shall still remain. Leaves may languish, fruit decrease, more shall grow again. It is still a fruit-bearing tree in the orchard, and that is to say, a tree of righteousness in the church of Christ, while it is a winter time. season it is passing through. There are other seasons. There are other days. Not only days when you feel cast down, but there are good days when the Sun of Righteousness arises to shine upon you with life and light and healing too. There are good days. And now do remember that. It might help you if you were here cast down. Do remember how the Apostle Paul argues, cast down, but not destroyed. And now, I can only draw a bow at a venture, and that is all the preacher is ever able to do. And a pastor is always seeking to do it, week in, week out, concerning the people of his charge. Some of you may be here, as I have said, in a cast-down state. And now, what is it that has made you to be cast down? What is the question arising in your breast? What is the concern that is wearing you? It is to do with your soul and your soul's eternal welfare. Yes, you remember that David said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. There is a why. Why art thou cast down? Why art thou disquieted? And the answer to that why is that such a sinner cast down is a sinner born again. Such an one has got some religion that God is the author of, and his soul reacts to whatever his circumstances may be without, or whatever he may feel concerning his case within. And you may be cast down, some of you, because you would like to be sure you are numbered with the people of God. But as yet you have not got that blessed confidence that is given to people taught of God sooner or later. What you want is this: the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And until you know you are, you will be cast down for the want of that sure, indubitable evidence. But then, inasmuch as you are concerned to get that evidence, you are not destroyed. God is at work within. It is the Spirit of God that enables you to wait on God, wait for God. You must not give place to the devil if he suggests that there is no help in God for you, no hope for such a sinner as you feel to be. No, no. There is another way to view it, a much better way, a sure way. I'll to the gracious King approach, who scepter pardon gives. Perhaps he will command my touch, and then the suppliant lives. How glad some of you dear people would be, you dear young people, some of you, if you could only be sure that you were a sinner born again. Well, it is a sign that God has mercy laid up in store for you. If you are here in the attitude of worship, cast down for the want of it. And remember that. Jesus will not your cry forget. You shall obtain the blessing yet. Cast down you may be. But you will never be cast off. No. No. No sinner was ever yet empty sent back who came seeking mercy for Jesus' sake. And now, there may be this that casts you down, and that is not only to do with the young, but those in life's afternoon and evening time. You look within, and you weigh matters as you feel they are between your soul and God, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart. And as you see what you are, how sad our state by nature is, and how as you journey on through life, how much you seem to fail in all that you would be and would do in living the life of the righteous, you are cast down. And now do remember what the hymn writer says, pour not on thyself too long. It is essential, it is necessary that you should know what you are by nature, and your sinnership should be unfolded and opened up to you. But then, what does the hymn writer say again? Blessed are the men of broken heart who mourn for sin with inward smart. Yes, the blood of Christ divinely flows, a healing balm for all their woes. It is not against you to be cast down because you feel no sinner needed mercy more that ever sought God's face. No, it is a mercy for you to be led into the truth and to come to that viewpoint of it. And the Word of God has much to encourage you, poor sinner, in your cast down state. Here is one word. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And you may feel like that in your cast down state. But then, think of Jonah. And he, of a truth, was cast down, and remember too, he was not destroyed. But what did he say in his cast down state? Though I am cast out of thy sight, I will look again toward thy holy temple. And you and I have got to learn that deeper down as we journey on. The remedy lies before thee. Pray. Yes. Cast down, but not destroyed. And now, you might be cast down because you're in much heaviness through manifold temptation. And Satan is a cunning foe. And he knows the weaknesses of every sinner born again, and he sets his artillery whereby he can make an entrance into that sinner's soul's experience. If so be, he can work havoc with it. And sometimes he seems to be permitted to do so. So it was with dear Job. The dear man had got a religion that God was the author of, and he was about the most godly man of the age in which he lived. But when Satan began to work on poor Job, what did he say then? As for my hope, who shall see it? My hope hath he removed like a tree. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Job wanted to get matters made right again between his soul and God. And in the ultimate issue, God worked wonderfully for Job, so that he was brought forth. Yes, and matters indeed were as his soul desired them to be. Cast down, but not destroyed. And I would say this, it is no evidence against you. On the other hand, it can be argued that it is for you if Satan comes upon you to suggest that your religion is not that which is of God and will not do either to live by or to die by. Oh, I have told you, dear people, many times, Satan is not omniscient. And I am sure, and the Word of God will confirm it, that Satan can never know how matters really are between your soul and God. He may shoot his fiery darts, and he may seek to undermine your hope in God and make you to be cast down. But even so, there is another viewpoint in that experience. Trust in him, even in him who is the sinner's friend, ye tempted saints. Tell him all your sad complaints. He a present help will be, give you strength and victory. Yes, it is not against you if Satan seeks to gain advantage over you regarding your religion, whether it is of God or no. If it was not of God, he would leave you to go on your way just as you are and still gain his end. But if it is of God, then he worries whom he can't devour with a malicious joy. Not only so, you might be cast down because you're very much in the dark nowadays regarding your soul's experience. There is this scripture, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light. Dear friends, that is a very solemn, a very painful experience. And the Word of God makes it plain that it is often a frequent experience of people taught of God, that they do find this darkness of mind, wherein they look back to see what God has done and they cannot see it. Oh, they walk in obscurity and darkness for a while. And there is a need to be for this. In that dark experience, they are indeed cast down. But there are two things I would say, two comments I would make upon that viewpoint, and that is that the flowers need night's cool darkness, the midnight and the dew. So Christ, from one who loved him, his shining oft withdrew. Darkness of mind is very painful, and Satan can take a great advantage of it. The Word of God says, thou makest darkness and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. And then you were brought very low, and your hope in God is at its lowest ebb, but it is not destroyed, because it is not possible to do it. No. No. The other viewpoint of being in darkness of mind is this. I do wonder if any of us, preacher or people, know very much about it. But I'm bound to tell you, as the Lord shall help me, that it is a darkness that is to be known. And now, in making that plain, I will remind you what the Apostle Peter says. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. And now there is one ingredient in that cup the dear Saviour had to drink. Oh, how bitter it was. No preacher can ever begin to tell. It was the essence of bitterness, that the sweetness of the gospel might be known, tasted by poor sinners born again. But the ingredient I name is this. Jesus Christ said, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Jesus Christ is verily man. When he bore sin's tremendous load, it is written, "The Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all." And when that was done, then Jesus Christ is verily man, had to endure the hiding of his Father's face. And there is this to be known in having fellowship with Christ in his sufferings from that viewpoint. Because, go back a moment to Job, and he said, "He hath brought me into darkness and not into light." But he says also later, "By his light I walk through darkness." And now Job was the most godly man, I have said, in the age in which he lived. God himself proclaimed that he was a perfect man, that is, one ever honest and sincere before the majesty of heaven, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Yet all those trials came upon him, and he was stripped of all but that religion that God had wrought deep down in his soul. And there is that darkness wherein you may be cast down, and yet you can search your conscience, and it does not accuse you of any outstanding sin whereby you have erred and strayed like a lost sheep and brought that dealing of God upon you. But it is how God sees fit to deal with you, that he might cause it to work for good in your soul's experience. And sometimes it is necessary that we should have these dark times, otherwise we might be left to settle down upon the lees of what we hope is our past experience of the goodness of God in his dealings with us, and go on in our profession of Jesus' name and just take things for granted. No. No. You and I have got to learn to live like this. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. And I have told you this verse many times. You really should know it. Ever on thy captain calling, make thy worst condition known. He shall hold thee up when falling, or shall lift thee up when down. Cast down, but not destroyed. You may be cast down because something has come into your life that you little reckon would come. And yet it may be, if you had read the Word of God a little more carefully, I say that in all affection, I'm not fitting any caps on, but the Word of God would have warned you that this thing, whatever it is, might come into your everyday life. And it might be some affliction God has laid upon you. And it is such an affliction that earthly physicians can do nothing in regard to it to bring about health and cure. And so, you are shut up to God in regard to what He, as the sinner's wise physician, will be pleased to do. And in the midst of it, you are cast down. You wonder, what is the purpose of God? What is His will concerning you? You desire to realize what His purpose is and behave accordingly. You want to know the will of God in it and to do His will willingly. But underneath it all, you are cast down. But you are not destroyed. And now what are you to do? You are to call to remembrance the former days. Did ever trouble yet befall, and God refused to hear thy call? And whatever it is that makes you cast down, God is declared in His word to be God that comforteth them that are cast down. And do remember that He is approachable. He is approachable at any time, anywhere. And a mercy it will be if you are helped to do what His word says in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Have you ever noticed the beautiful, homely simplicity of that? Let your request be made known unto God. It does not suggest you need a multitude of words to do it, but you can appeal to God, O Lord, Thou knowest where I am, what I am, and I am cast down, and I need Thy divine aid, and You will obtain it. Cast down, but not destroy. Much might be said about those things, and I may not have touched upon the thing that has made you cast down so that you are here before God. It may be to do with you or yours or something in your business life wherein you as a godly man desire to behave aright. But then the Word of God gives you instructions. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Let us look at the other side of this great truth. Cast down, but not destroyed. And now it means what God has done for us is not destroyed. And that is a great mercy. It is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. And if you can go back over life's journey and search out some things along life's way whereby you can say, this is the finger of God. If you can search out where God came into your life when trouble like a gloomy cloud gathered thick and thundered loud, and when, instead of you sinking to rise no more, he brought you forth to offer unto him thanksgiving for delivering mercy, and you have set up a waymark where that trouble came into your life. You have raised a high heap. And although you should walk in darkness and have no light, and you look back and cannot see it, oh, it is still there. It is not destroyed. And when the Lord is pleased to appear for you, and when in his light you look back again and see light on his dealings, you will see all these waymarks standing out, standing up to encourage you as you journey on. Cast down, but not destroyed. And now, let us get right down to bedrock. As you are here before God, say you are a cast down worshipper. You do desire to worship God aright. You have already waited on God, that you might not wait in vain as you appeared before him in the attitude of worship in his earthly courts. You have indeed said, Amen. Compassion have on us, we pray, and empty send us not away. Then that which enables you to appear before God has not been destroyed. It is still said concerning you, behold he, behold she, prayeth. And how would the powers of darkness boast if but one praying soul were lost? What I'm trying to make manifest is this. Living faith in you, blessed be God, is not destroyed. You are here before God, and your concern is to get in touch with God. Like the woman in the gospel when she said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Not only is faith not destroyed, hope is not destroyed. Dear friends, it was hope that brought you along to worship God. Did you not have a feeling like this? I seek and hope to find a portion for my soul. Hope is not destroyed. And remember what the Word of God says about hope. It speaks about one who against hope believed in hope. And sometimes these people taught of God as they are. They are brought to hope against hope. And they get right down in their cast down state to where the hymn writer did when he said, though by my sins deserving hell, I'll not despair, for who can tell? And in that who can tell, there is the evidence that what God has wrought in your soul, some religion that he is the author of, is not destroyed. And that hope ere long will be brightened when he grants you a deliverance from your cast down state. Yes. Another thought is this. Love is not destroyed. Because you are here through that love which made your willing feet in swift obedience move to appear before God where you are. And you can say, we love the place, O God, wherein thine honor dwells. the joy of thine abode, all earthly joy excels. And I might say this, you are here, at least I hope you are, the characters I am trying to reach this Sabbath morn, you are here with a desire to be in subjection to the sovereignty of God and to be submissive to His will. And yet, you are pleading like the leper, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And now all these things prove that the root of the matter is functioning in your soul's exercises. And although you feel cast down, much in the dark, as to the why and wherefore of the dealings of God with you, the good work begun in you is being carried on. And although you feel as you do, you are not to judge by your frames and feelings, but you are to thank God that while you are indeed cast down, blessed be His name, you are not destroyed, and you never will be. What did Jesus say? I am the resurrection and the life. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Thy power and mercy first prevailed from sin, from death to set me free. And often since my life had failed, had it not been in thee. Amen.